Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Laveau. Germany's elections offered up some surprises. The Alternative for Germany surged. The left garnered a stunning result. And importantly, voter turnout was high. But the final result, the next ruling coalition, will be the same status quo parties and their policies. Not exactly change. Crosstalking the German elections, I'm joined by my guest, Gunnar Beck, in London. He is an EU lawyer and a former AfD member of the European Parliament. In Hanover, we have Ayka Hamar. He is an economist and political commentator. And in Istanbul, we cross to Tarik Sarıkmaz. He is a historian and political analyst. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Let's go to our guest in London. Gunnar, I mean, you know, there was a lot of hype around this election. Obviously, Olaf Scholz, which I've called Sergeant Scholz on this program for years, he got what was coming to him. His party had its worst result since the Second World War. He deserved it, okay? The AfD did really well, a little bit less than expectations, doubled its vote. And this party, the left, came out from left field, as it were, here. But at the end of the day, nothing really changes. The coalition will be the same old, tired coalition parties that we've seen off and on since the end of the Second World War. So what was this election all about?
I agree with every word you've said. The AfD has done well, not quite as well as it may have hoped. The CDU has won these elections because it pretended it would change its policies in a number of areas. I'm rather skeptical whether they will. We have a familiar configuration, a so-called grand coalition, which is grand only in the sense that those two parties which participate in it were once by far the largest. Actually, they aren't any longer, but they just about scrape a majority in parliament. They've been in government on and off and frequently together for the best part of 20 years. My prediction is that there will be a slight change in policy, not so much because it is willed and because they wish to change things, but because there's much less money around in Germany. They will change a few things, but it won't be nearly enough to restore Germany's economic fortunes. So my firm prediction is that Germany will, the crisis in Germany will continue, and Germany will continue to decline economically, possibly at an accelerated pace.
Ayka, in Hanover, again, the winner, the Christian Democrats, they achieved their second worst result in their history.
Yes.
And they're the winners. Explain to my viewers how that is possible. It sounds like the Labour Party in the UK. Go ahead.
Yes, the people voted for a change. And this is why all these old parties who stand for this Davos group, deep state, whatsoever you call it, they don't want this anymore. And people wanted a change. But in the West, when you look at the picture, how the people voted, you can clearly see that all these more socialistic parties like the Socialistic Party or the Green Party, they have lost dramatically, even in the West and the East anyway. And in the West, you have mainly CDU as the winner, and in the East, you have AfD. Why? The people want a change, and they don't get a change because in the West, they don't get it that with the CDU, there is no change. It's the same people who go to Davos, who get their orders in these groups there, and that's what people thought to get rid of, but they don't. But in US, there is a new sheriff in town, as J.D. Vance said. And there was a big clash in on the Munich Security Conference that even the US doesn't want this downturn policy anymore. And now it's getting really, really tough because I don't see the CDU changing anything, especially not having the left arm of the Socialist Party as their only remaining coalition partner. So this is what is the big, big astonishing thing about this. People will be furious. Yep. In a very short period.
Yeah, well, and particularly since so many more new voters went to the polls. Tariq, you know, I looked at the election result map, and you know what? I'm sure you're not going to be surprised. Weren't these the borders of the DDR? I mean, this looks like going into the past. Tariq.
Yes, I mean, right now the situation is that if you look at the map, the AfD is dominant in all of the former Eastern Germany. It's not just strong, it dominates there. Whereas in the former West Germany, you have mostly now CDU with some SPD. That's how the map looks. So that the problem with that is, and I'll be frank about this, I'm a very left-wing person. I have no real sympathy for the AfD. But I've always been adamant that you cannot prohibit it. And the other thing is that locking it out of coalition building is incredibly unfair, and it basically relegates the voters of the AfD to second-rate voters, right? This is what's really happening there. You can vote for it, but we will not really let it into the club of the parties who actually allocate government power to each other. The constitution in Germany doesn't foresee anything like that. You won't find the term firewall in the constitution or anywhere else for very good reasons. So what is happening here is that by locking the AfD out, whether you like the AfD or not, and I mostly don't, but by locking them out, you polarize the country, and you polarize it along the old line between East and West. It's insanity, in my view, to be honest.
Gunnar, staying with this theme right here, is that dissent is not welcomed in German politics. The German political culture of the old parties does not agree to dissent among the voters. Go ahead.
Yes, I agree. I mean, please say something controversial. So far, I've agreed with everything everyone said on the program so far. I think that's an apt analysis. I agree German post-war politics has been built around the idea of a broad, boring majority consensus. That's, I think, all very well in times of economic prosperity.
That's right.
Those times, that's right, as a result of policies, Merkel's policies, that weren't actually all that consensual. They appeared consensual because she presented it in an inimitably uninteresting, boring, down-to-earth manner, but they were actually radical policies. So these have divided the country, and people are now fearful. They are fearful in terms of internal security, which has effectively broken down in Germany, and they're fearful of sustained economic decline. And the parties that are now trying or in the process of building a new government, they just won't listen to them. They will continue relying and implementing the old politics.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't have a problem with consensus. That's good in a democracy here. But, I mean, just as it was pointed out, I mean, this consensus politics was good when there was prosperity, okay? But why should these consensus parties be reinstalled in decline? This is managed decline. Let's say it, guys. It's managed decline. Eike.
Yes. Well, I'm not entirely agreeing with this because most people don't feel the decline yet. It is a decline. The companies are closing down. The companies are in very severe situations, but the ordinary people don't really feel it. No, I think the main issue was that in the former East Germany, the people knew already a regime that censors, that goes with the police to people who have a different opinion, who expel those people who are taking the police force and the tax authorities to fight against political opponents. Those people know already this, how this works out, and they really don't want this. In the West, they never had this experience. They still believe that CDU, like being humble and saying, no, everything will work. They are the conservatives, but they have nothing to do with the conservative party of Konrad Adenauer or Ludwig Erhard anymore. Nothing in common anymore. Yeah. And the big problems are just about to arise because now we go into the economic downturn. And this is getting really, really ugly in Germany now.
Tariq, I mean, with the AfD being shut out of power, isn't this just the greatest campaign slogan for the next parliamentary elections in Germany? We're not part of the problem. Go ahead.
Yes. I mean, look, the AfD right now can only profit one way or the other, right? Either the CDU and the SPD won't be able to agree. I think they will because they have to. And then the AfD is coming back in. Or they will agree and have this grand coalition. The grand coalition will suffer from self-blockade. People will get frustrated and frustrated ever more. And the AfD is now the opposition, right? There are other parties, but the AfD is now the biggest party in the opposition. And a bit like Marine Le Pen, the AfD will profit by the old system displays its weakness and the fact that it can't actually repair things. So the next elections are scheduled to be in 2029, but I don't know if we even get there. Keep in mind that this was already a snap election, right? This was an election that came out of a government breakdown. But if I may add one thing.
Tariq, I want you to hold that thought because your thoughts are always worth listening to, and I don't want to cut you off. I will cut myself off by saying, well, hopefully the only silver lining is that we will not have any more Annalena Baerbock. Okay, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on the German election. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing the German elections. Okay, let's go back to Istanbul to our dear guest, Tariq. You were making a point, and I didn't want to cut you off, so go right ahead.
So in terms of the economy, the two things I would say is, I personally believe that the German economy can only get out of its current very deep structural crisis that everybody acknowledges this. This is not an ordinary recession. If two things happen, one is they have to deal with the debt brake, and I don't think this coalition will be able to deal with the debt brake because they don't have a majority to change the constitution and they won't be able to get the opposition to go along. The second factor is they would have to repair the relationship with Russia, so that German industry can draw on inexpensive energy again and also open up markets and corporations with Russia. And again, the problem is that Merz, the leader of the Christian Democrats, is stuck in the 1990s, if not in the 1980s. He is a very old-fashioned Cold Warrior, and he doesn't show any sign of wanting to repair that relationship. It's rather the opposite, unfortunately.
Well, since Merz's name has been brought up, let's go back to London. Gunnar, on election night, he talked of the need for European independence from America. I mean, this is a BlackRock guy, okay? I mean, he hasn't been in formal politics, for a very long time. I mean, what is he talking about?
He grew up in a political era where there were no tensions between the objectives of ever closer European integration and good transatlantic relations. I think that was true, the Americans wanted to see more European integration, and they saw no contradiction between that objective and a well-integrated Western alliance. But now under Trump, I think we have a different situation, and at least for the time being, these objectives don't appear to coincide. Well, perhaps to illustrate the point just made. Merz doesn't seem to realize that. He thinks he can reinvigorate or restore transatlantic relations along the lines in which they existed before, and at the same time pursue ever closer European integration insofar as he sees some kind of difference between the two. He sees ever closer European integration as an answer, as a way of compensating for a slightly more tenuous relationship between European countries and the US. Well, none of this will work. He can't restore things the way they were 25 years ago, and the Europeans today are far too weak to act independently of the United States.
But that was by design, okay? That was by design. What Germany needs is sovereignty, okay, before it needs to take the next step here. This integration thing, that's a deflection. It's a deflection, okay? I mean, we've seen it with the conflict in Ukraine. The Europeans can't get out of their way. They don't have a unified industrial base. I could go on and on and on. And that is why there's this rift right now. And because of the lack of sovereignty and having an independent foreign policy, all of Europe pays this price, Eike.
Yes, well, we have at least two problems here. The number one is that Europe, the anti-European project, the European Union, is on the brink of collapse, because when Germany is going downwards, with Germany's economy is going downwards, European Union has not so much to plunder anymore, because the European Union is nothing else but a plundering club against Germany. So when the victim is done, then it doesn't make sense for the others to stay in that club. So this is number one. Number two is Friedrich Merz doesn't even have his own party in under control, because out of a sudden Mrs. Merkel came up and interfered in the last elections within the Bundestag for this migrant problem. And Friedrich Merz doesn't want to change anything, and he doesn't even stand for the new powers in that so-called deep state, which is being fought in the U.S. So he is for an outdated network that is going to be thrown out, and the European Union has its time is over. They got and him too. They got they lost their credibility. They lost their credibility in Russia, because with Minsk and so on, these agreements. But he also lost the credibility with the new government in the United States, and that was very obvious on the Munich Security Conference. So we have a severe problem here. And the other European partners are panicking more and more. And when he doesn't get the money out from the German taxpayers, then many things in Europe will now collapse, because they spent more money than they were allowed to, and now they want to heal something that went illegal. But he doesn't get this. So I'm totally in line that this next coalition won't last very long, because it's not only because it is no change, but because they are part of the problem and not the solution. And you need solutions, you need quick solutions, and you need severe solutions. And this is what both superpowers around us have already said, and what the rest of the world is telling nicely those politicians too.
Yeah, well, Tariq, it seems to me, at least in the German context, if you ask for solutions, you're just called a racist and a Nazi. I mean, that whole rhetoric is so self-defeating. But I want to broaden it out, Tariq. I mean, you know, with this election, keeping in mind what happened on Sunday, you know, you have Europe that calls Russia an enemy, possibly now the United States is an enemy, and the Europeans are not getting along very well with China. Really good place Europe has found itself in, hasn't it?
It's a catastrophe, obviously. And let's not only, as it were, talk about Trump or blame the Trumpists. I mean, the U.S. attitude to Germany and Europe was obvious when Nord Stream was blown up. right? And the Europeans, that was a classical case where the Europeans showed that they had absolutely no spine and no autonomy left. That's what, that's the last moment when they should have defended themselves against the Americans. And now it's too late. The perversity is that now we are seeing the beginning of what I think is an American-Russian great understanding, a détente, 2-0, and the Europeans are being left out of it, high and dry. And to come back to Merz and his people, what I hear from Merz, this talk about making Europe independent of the US, that's not goalism. He doesn't mean to make Europe really independent. He means to build sort of a small NATO within Europe. It's Atlanticism without an Atlantic. It's a completely quixotic, perverse construction, right? In which I think he has this dream that somehow Germany, maybe with France providing nukes, can replace the United States at the European level. That's insanity. It will never work, of course. It will just ruin the country even more quickly.
Well, Gunnar, I mean, what we're getting at as we speak here is that because of Europe's mistakes and arrogance, we're getting a Yalta 2.0. And, you know, given the circumstances, that's not so bad. Go ahead in London.
Yes, it's not so bad. If the Europeans, or if the principal European states actually struggled to find a workable solution to it, I agree with Eike and that nothing is on the table yet. They have nothing. But where I differ is I think dysfunctional arrangements, and we currently have dysfunctional arrangements, can actually last much longer than most people think. I think Germany can simply decline, and no one will do anything about it. I mean, Germany today is not what it was 100 years ago, nearly a great power. I think there's a very serious prospect that Germany will simply be politically immobile, that the AfD will continue to be excluded, that it won't become strong enough to assert itself without the aid of any other party.
All right, I think Eike disagrees with you on this point, and I want to give him his word on this. We're rapidly running out of time. Go ahead, Eike.
Yeah, well, I think the AfD will get strong enough. We have already absolute majorities of AfD politicians in the eastern part. And I think the western will learn it too, especially because this new coalition, whoever it will be with the Christian Democrats, won't last very long. But we are on a pathway to get geopolitical a new dimension. And this dimension will be that we will get a Eurasian free trade zone from Lisbon to Vladivostok. And there you need politicians in Germany who are able to talk with both sides. And Friedrich Merz is not the one talking with both sides anymore. And the CDU and the SPD, they have destroyed so much credibility that you need new people, at least for a while. I can understand that these old politicians don't want to go away because they have committed so many crimes. If you look at these corona politics, the Nord Stream 2 things, and so on and so on. And of course, they don't want anybody else in power now to be able to go for it. But this will happen anyway. It will happen from the US. It will probably happen from other sides, maybe even within Europe. The time for change is there, and you can't step yourself against these movements, even with any tricks what they are still doing.
Well, I think all of us would agree there's some nuances here, obviously, but the status quo, it has failed, and it will fail if it is continued to be in power here. Germany is following France, following the UK. We need a resurgence, and the voters are going to say it one way or another. That's all the time we have, gentlemen. Absolutely fascinating discussion. I want to thank my guests in London, Hanover, and, of course, in Istanbul. And I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.